Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The first 30 years of his life, while he was here on this earth, Jesus lived in a small village in the province of Galilee, a village called Nazareth. A village, we are told, that had perhaps 100 people or more living there. Maybe more. And Jesus worked in the family business. He was a carpenter. He was a construction worker. But at around the age of 30, he left Nazareth and he began his public ministry, going south of Nazareth into the province of Judea, into the city of Jerusalem. And he began preaching and teaching the Word of God. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He even purged the temple in Jerusalem of those who had defiled the house of God with their greed and with their hypocrisy. But after some time had passed, maybe a year or so, Jesus returned to Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit of God. And news about him began spreading throughout the entire region as he proclaimed the truth of the Word of God, the good news of salvation. And he went from town to town, from city to city, from village to village, perhaps going to hundreds of towns in Galilee. And so he once again returned to his own hometown of Nazareth. And since it was a small town, he would have been well known to the people there. Some of them perhaps had known him from the time that he was a child. Well, at least they thought that they knew him. And so when he went into their synagogue, and when he was given the opportunity to read from the scriptures, he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he went to Isaiah chapter 61, to a passage of scripture that would have been well known to the people, because it spoke of the coming Messiah. Spoke of the anointed one of God who would come to this earth from heaven to be their deliverer. And so, in reading from that passage of scripture, Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Preaching and teaching and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God would be the ministry of the Messiah. And when Jesus had finished reading those prophetic words of Scripture, he declared to the people in that synagogue on that day that yes, even in their hearing, those Scriptures that he had just read had just been fulfilled. they had been fulfilled in him. Which means he was the Messiah, the very Son of God. And we know from the scriptures that that announcement did not go over very well with the people there. After all, his friends, his relatives, and his neighbors were there, and they knew who he was. And so their attitude towards him immediately changed. It went from one of praise to one of anger. They knew him. How could he be the Messiah? And so we're told they were filled with rage, and they revealed the hardness of their heart. They revealed their unbelief. They did not see the truth that the one whom they thought that they knew was, in fact, the Savior of the world. So when they heard Jesus speak those words, they stood on their feet and they took hold of him and they threw him out of town and led him up to the top of the hill, and they would have thrown him over that cliff. But his time, the time of his death, had not yet come. So we are told that he miraculously passed through that crowd unharmed, and he went his way. Like many people today, they rejected their only hope of deliverance from their sin. So then, we're told, Jesus made the 20-mile journey north and then east along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we're told in verse 31, John chapter 4, that he came down to Capernaum, a seaport city, city of importance in the province of Galilee. And as was his custom, he was teaching them in their synagogue each week on the Sabbath days, just as he had told the people in Nazareth that he would do. When he read from Isaiah, he was sent to teach. He was sent to preach the word of God. He brought forth the truth of the kingdom of God to the people. Why? We're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the truth of the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It can change our lives. The scripture, the word of God, can change our destiny. It has power. Power from above. Power to deliver our soul from judgment. Power to escape the torment of hell. Power to transform us and make us spiritually alive, if we will only believe the good news of salvation. So, the teaching of Jesus, like all true biblical teaching, is not just some academic exercise. It is not just some good suggestions concerning the way that we ought to live our lives. But really, in reality, the scriptures are a warning, aren't they? They are a warning because the word of God has clearly outlined the plan of God for our salvation, the plan for our deliverance from our sin. And it has also clearly outlined the consequences for those who choose to ignore that plan of salvation, who choose to ignore the provision made for us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We will not be condemned to an eternity of separation from God because of lack of knowledge. We have been given that knowledge in the Word of God. We will be condemned because we have rejected the knowledge that we have been given. So, it is obvious then, isn't it, that this message is a message of extreme importance to all of us, a message that we need to get right. We need to have the truth. Yet, the reality is this, that many today who claim to bring us the truth, who preach it, who teach it, are leading the people over a cliff into eternal ruin by not giving the people the truth of the Word of God. This is a warning. It will be a fearful day for them when they stand before the Lord and they give an account of their actions. And this should also cause us to be careful as well, to be sure that what we teach, that what we preach, is the truth. And so, when the people in that synagogue in Capernaum heard Jesus speak, it says in verse 32, they were continually amazed. Ekplasso in Greek. They were overwhelmed by what they heard. They were in shock. They were speechless when they heard his teaching, his instruction, his words. No one that they had ever heard before had ever explained the Word of God the way that he explained it. Explained it with clarity. He explained it with power. And his words, his message, we are told, was delivered with divine authority, exousia in Greek, with absolute confidence. Not in someone else's words, but in confidence in his own words, in his own authority. Not like the teachers that the people were accustomed to hearing. And though they were speechless, there was someone there that day who was not speechless, but who felt compelled to speak. And in verse 33, we are told who that was. It says that it was a demon. Daimonion in Greek. An evil spirit. A minister of wickedness. Perhaps not a popular subject to talk about today, because in the time in which we live, there are two errors, among others, in regard to demons that seem to dominate our thinking. One error is that demons do not exist at all, that they are just a part of our imagination, a fantasy. Well, the other error is that we are often preoccupied with them. We are preoccupied with this world of evil. We pay too much attention to them, too much interest in them. And both are errors. And in our day, the combination of truth and error and fantasy regarding these evil spirits has created a very dangerous situation. We have created a situation that is both confusing and unbiblical. An unbiblical view of this demonic realm. So, who are these demons? Well, originally, they were angels. They were angels who had been created by God. They had been created to worship Him and to serve Him. But one of those angels, an angel by the name of Lucifer, a name which means one who shines like the star of the morning, this angel rebelled against God, and we're told in Isaiah chapter 14 and in Ezekiel chapter 8 why he rebelled, because it says he wanted to be worshipped above the God of the universe. A dangerous place to be. Yet how many people choose to put themselves in that place today? And we're told that because of his pride, because of his rebellion, God cast him down from heaven to this earth. And according to Revelation chapter 12, a third of the angels in heaven, perhaps millions of them, followed him. And now they roam this earth as demons, with their leader, Lucifer, who we now know by the name of Satan, which means the adversary, the enemy of God, the enemy of our souls. And though it says in Revelation chapter 20 that someday all of them will be thrown into a lake of fire forever. Until that day, they have a hand in the evil that dominates our culture, in the evil that dominates our schools, in the evil that dominates our government and our nation, and yes, the world. And though they influence and they confuse the people of this world. Sometimes they even confuse us, don't they? At times, these demons indwell people of this world if those people do not belong to Jesus Christ, because darkness and light cannot dwell together. And if Jesus Christ lives within us, if we are saved, then that evil cannot enter into us. And we are told greater is he who is in us than these demons who are in the world. So, despite what people may say, demons are real. They are wicked, and they are powerful. And so we're told in verse 33 that on the day that Jesus was teaching, and what was he teaching? He was teaching the Word of God. As he was teaching the Word of God in that synagogue, we're told that there was a man in that synagogue, a man in a religious environment, a member of the congregation who was, it says, possessed, echo in Greek, who was being held in the grip of a demon. He was joined to the spirit, we're told, of an unclean, akatharos in Greek, of an impure demon, as all demons are impure. though no one in that synagogue may have even known that this man was being held captive by him. And then, all of a sudden, as Jesus was in the middle of preaching and teaching, all of a sudden, this demon within this man cried out, we're told, anakratzo in Greek. He screamed at the top of his lungs with a loud voice. Well, I guess that woke up a few people, if they were dozing off. And as he heard this teaching, as he heard the word of God being taught, he could not keep silence. And we are told in verse 34, he said, ha, aha, in Greek. Let us alone. It was a cry. It was a cry of anger. It was a cry of fear. It was a cry of bitterness, knowing that his days were numbered. And he said, what do we have to do with you at this time? Are you here to attack us, Jesus of Nazareth? The time for the judgment has not yet come. Yes. Demons know the word of God. They know the power of Christ. And they tremble for fear of him. And so this demon asked Jesus in verse 34, have you come to destroy us? Apollomi in Greek. Have you come to send us to eternal ruin? They know that this is and will be their punishment for their rebellion against God. Eternal torment. And he adds this. I know who you are. I know you are the Holy One. I know you are the Righteous One of God. Well, that's quite a testimony. But, you know, Jesus does not need the testimony of wicked, vile demons. And so Jesus, we're told, rebuked him. Apetimeo in Greek. He sternly commanded him. There were no rituals. There were no incantations. There was no discussion. There was no debate. What was there? There was only the word of God. And so Jesus said to him in verse 35, be quiet. Thimo'o in Greek. Muzzle your mouth. Remain silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown this man down to the ground, we're told, in the midst of the people in that synagogue, this demon went out of that man without doing him any harm or injury, Luke adds. Well, if the people in the synagogue were amazed at the teaching of Jesus, they were really amazed now. They were amazed when they saw a demonstration of the power of Jesus over this evil spirit, of the effect of his words. And we are told amazement, thambos in Greek, awe and wonder and fear came upon all of them. They were frozen with fear when they saw this, and so they began discussing these things with one another. Sulaleo in Greek. They were debating among themselves, trying to understand the significance, the meaning of what they had just seen. Nothing like this had ever happened before. And they were saying, what is this message? logos in Greek. What is this word that we have heard? This powerful word. For with authority, with power, with miraculous power, this Jesus commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. He can deliver men from the power of Satan. That is the point. He can deliver men from the power of the evil one. Who else can do that except God himself? And we're told the report about him, echos in Greek, the sound, the roar, like the roar of the waves of the sea, could not be ignored by anyone. People were talking about Jesus. He dominated their conversation. And so we are told word about him was getting out and spreading like wildfire throughout every locality, in every place in the surrounding district. So, what can we learn from these things? Well, I think we've learned that the word of God can muzzle a demon. I think we've learned that the word of God can affect the evil of this world. I think we've learned that that power is in our hands because the instrument to stand against the attacks of the enemy, the instrument to stand against his lies, the instrument to stand against evil is the word of God. So we should not muzzle that word. We should proclaim the truth of the word of God, that only the sacrifice of Jesus can save us, that only he can deliver us from the power of darkness. Only he can deliver us from the power of sin. And only his word, not our comments about it, not our opinions about it, only his word can muzzle the mouths of those who stand against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.